The following interview is an interview with Jenny Blackman, my grandmother. She is a retired worker that works around the house and works at other people's houses, taking care of them. She lives in Lincoln County, Georgia. Lincolnton is the city. And this interview is done on February 18, 1994.
All right. What I can remember during the Depression days and long before then, in the 20s, my first remembrance was when I went to school, my first school day, in Goshen School. And it was a one-room schoolhouse. And all the children gathered in a little bench there for us to have our classes. But I was in the first grade at 6 years old. And so then the way we had to get to school was we had to walk. It wasn't very far from where we lived to our schoolhouse, because my granddaddy gave the land to build this schoolhouse on for the school to be built in our community. And then lots of children from all over the Goshen community and below the little city there that lived, they had to walk to school. They had no way, we had no way of going to school back there. Nobody had cars. And so we would walk. And some of the girls and boys would have to walk about nearly 2 miles to the schoolhouse. And one family in particular that rode in a buggy.
When I was a buggy.
Buggy with a, well, that's where you pulled, or it's a buggy called horses pulling a buggy. A mule pulling a buggy. And this boy and girl, they were sisters and brothers, and this boy and girl would unhitch their mule right there in Grandpa's pasture and leave him there until we got out of school and leave this, that buggy was something back then that all everybody had to ride in was a buggy. And so it's a two-wheel cart pulled by a mule.
Okay, okay.
And so they parked their buggy in my granddaddy's yard and put the mule there in the lot where they could get it when they come back, because it was too far for them to have to walk. So, and then, back in those days, we didn't have any money. Everybody was poor. Didn't anybody have any money at all, only just what little that they could sell some chickens or something like that to get some food that they run out. We lived at home. We lived at home because my granddaddy and daddy would plant wheat and corn and oats and things like that, and they carried our corn to mill and had it ground up into meal to make cornbread out of. And then the flour, we had, he grew our wheat to make our flour. All these years we did that. But it would run out sometimes during the year. The wheat and stuff and the corn would run out. So he would, we would have to buy our food then. We'd have to buy our flour. And lots of times the way we did that was my mother would set old hens out in the chicken house and raise little bitties, and they would grow up, and she'd put them in the coop and fatten them up and sell them to the chicken peddlers that come around, and we had a little extra change that way. And whenever we needed some flour, some sugar and some lard, that's how we would get it. And then my granddaddy, my daddy, would get out. He had he finally got up back in the 1930s. My daddy bought him an old T-model car. And he thrashed peas. He would go around to different people's houses and thrash peas. And he could sell some peas, and we'd have a little change then to get whatever we needed there in the house. But now, going back to the wheat, our family, there were three families that lived together there in the little neighborhood of Goshen. And whenever it was time to gather the wheat, my granddaddy would let them come, and we had a big yard, a big lot down there, and he would let the three families come in and bring their wheat and their oats to be thrashed. The thrasher would come up and set their thrasher down in Grandpa's yard. And the people would bring in their grain to be thrashed. And so we would have a lots of straw in our yard at that time, but different families come by and picked up the straw. They got lots of it that way. And
let me ask you this. What did your dad and your mother do for a living during this time?
Well, everybody was farmers back then in that day.
Yeah.
They didn't have, there wasn't any jobs. And they were farmers. They raised their crops. They planted corn and cotton and wheat. And at the beginning of the year, the fall of the year, no, it was the spring of the year, is when they planted their crops. They would borrow, they would go to the bank and borrow about $75. And that would be enough to get their seed to plant. And then to buy us a pair of shoes now. We had, my daddy always borrowed enough for us to have shoes to wear during the winter months when it was bad. So we only had two pair of shoes, and that was one Sunday's pair of shoes and one to wear to school. And I have known that my mother would give me her shoes to wear. My shoes would wear out, and she would take my shoes for me to wear to go to school with in the winter months. But when it was warm and all, we went barefooted. all the neighbor children went barefooted. It was a custom that that's what we did. And these people that lived off from school, they walked barefooted. And there wasn't ever any clothes bought. Our mamas made all of our clothes. Our mamas in the neighborhood. We didn't buy any clothes. They were made. And when they got through planting using the fertilizer out of the sacks, my mother would take them and put them in the pot and boil them down and boil off, try to get all the numbers out of them. And they looked kind of like linen when they got through with it. She would make us some little step-ins, little panties to wear. And then we'd make us some little slips out of it. And that's what we had, because my mama sewed. She done all of our sewing up in the 40s, she sewed for me. And then she would make sheets and things out of the sacks that we had. We didn't have, it wasn't all that much, but my granddaddy, he got some fertilizer, and my daddy both got fertilizer, so that gave us, some extra sacks. And so when the flour would run out, we would have enough money to go and buy us a sack of flour. At that time now, the shoes didn't cost you over $1.50 mm-hmm. that we bought. About $1.50 a pair of shoes. Some of them were dollar pair of shoes. And then the material that was made out of dresses was made out of didn't cost us anything. Only just for the flour sacks that was made out of. And let me see.
What did your brothers do?
Well, my one of them, see, my baby brother was too little to do anything back in the 20s, back in the 8s. I don't forgot what year he was born, Abbott was born in. But he was a baby. He and my sister were a baby. There were five of us in the family, five children in the family. And so we had a hard time. And it was, and I know lots and lots of times we'd say, well, we'd have vegetables for dinner. And for supper, we'd know what we were going to have because it'd be fat back and thick gravy. That we didn't have anything but that for supper, you know, fat back and thick gravy, unless somebody wanted some of the vegetables that was left over from dinner. And but nobody hardly wanted. The working people had to eat. Mm-hmm. They had to have a lot of food, you know, to eat, to keep them going. So, and on this, back in the, let's see, back in 21 and 22, my granddaddy had another house on his place, and he let this family, these colored people, move in. And this old lady had two boys, and they were about 18 and 19 years old, and they were slaves. And he took them in and gave them a place to live for them to help work the farm. And they would grow their food too. They would have, you know, stuff to eat. But they would grow it. We had gardens. My daddy would fix gardens. Now, I was little then, but I remember seeing Mom and Daddy pick beans and things and can them. And the butter beans, we would dry them, pick the dry butter beans, and we would let them dry, you know, and lay them out so we could have some of those to eat during the winter months. And this family that that helped Grandpa was a real helpful to Mama there at the house. And in washing our club, going back to the back in the 20s, now we had to draw water. We didn't have no way of we didn't have any lights. We had just kerosene lamps. We had no way of getting any water, only drawing it out of the well. And that was mine and my sister's and brother's job to do, was fill up the pots so in the tub so Mama could wash. And we boiled our clothes back then.
Boiled them?
Boiled them. We put them in a big old black pot. If you remember seeing that big black pot of mine that I had here. We boiled the clothes in that pot. We had two big pots because it was a big family of us there in one house. And so we'd have to draw the water. Mama wasn't able to draw the water, do the washing too. And so we helped her rinse the clothes, but she wouldn't let us do no washing because she's afraid we wouldn't get them clean. And we'd get our hands in that hot water, but what we boiled with was homemade soap made out of lye. It was made out of some grease and potash. And that's how we got our soap to, you know, wash our clothes in. But now there was a lot of family in our community got their water out of a spring. Mm-hmm. They towed it, the children would tote the water up the hill for them to fill up the tubs to wash in. So you see, it was real real hard back then for us to keep clean, keep things going. We had to tote water and had to draw it. And we had, on our back porch, we had granddaddy put a table like there on the corner. And we would drink, we'd have drinking water, and everybody would drink out of the same dipper. We'd draw a bucket of water and set it there, and whenever anybody wanted to drink the water, they'd go out there and get it. They'd drink out of the same dipper.
Yeah.
And use the same bucket. Now that sounds filthy now, but it's that's what we did back then. And so back in 28 and 29 was some of the hardest times that we had. And so we did not have any bathrooms in the house. We had outhouses. And so we'd have to walk a long ways. If you had to get in a hurry, you had to run. And so And if it wasn't for the Augusta Chronicle, and there's a little paper that they used to put out called Grit. And we'd take that out to the toilet out there when we had to go. And then the stamp number catalog come along, so we had the stamp number catalog. But so that was tough times back then, because we had to be on our P's and Q's when we had to go to the bathroom. So and in going back to school too, we could not come home. We lived not too far from that school, but we couldn't come home. We had to take a sandwich, and not a sandwich. We took a biscuit.
Yeah.
We might take a fatback biscuit or a egg biscuit or something like that. And then we were talking just a while ago about growing chickens in the yard. Well, now my mother set old hens, and they raised the biddies, you know, and we'd raise chickens. We had enough of hens in the yard to supply us with eggs. Mm-hmm. Our family with, you know, with eggs to cook with and to eat. And then she'd have several hens setting at one time, and she would have maybe 18 or 20 little biddies at one time come off. And those biddies grew right fast, because they scratched, they got everything they wanted out of the woods and out of the wood pile and all. And so they made a living out there, and then Mama would take some meal. I have seen her take some meal in a little pan, and for the little biddies when they were little, mm-hmm. and just pour a little water in it and throw it out and feed the biddies that way. And they would grow all fast if you helped them to grow.
Yeah.
And so then comes the 30s. It was kind of old, talking about going back to the schools, and we went, the school opened at 8 o'clock, and we didn't get out till 4. The teacher had so many classes, one teacher had so many classes in there, till it taken a long time to have school, but they would not let us out till everybody turned out.
Yeah.
We had to march in the school, we had to march out. That was when we were little, back in the 20s. And let me see.
Well, let me ask you, what kind of living conditions were you living in? Like your house, was it?
Oh, well, the house, we had a big house. We lived with grandmama for a while. Daddy and mama lived in a little house there on grandpa's place.
Yeah.
But grandmama got sick, and she stayed sick but for about 10 years before she died. We had to move in the house with granddaddy. And so that's why we were living in that big colonial home.
Is that?
He had a big colonial home.
Is that in Lincoln County?
Yeah, it was in Lincoln County, uh-huh.
Is it still standing?
No, it got burned. It burned in 1930, and my granddaddy borrowed enough money to build another one back. Because Uncle Andrew and Pert and Daddy all and Uncle Harry were carpenters,
mm-hmm.
and they built the house themselves. But Granddaddy mm-hmm. bought the timber and all. But they didn't put the same house back. It was just didn't have a two-story. The old home was a two-story colonial home. We had two rooms upstairs, and there were four rooms downstairs. And then off from the house was the dining room and the kitchen. Just a little walkway between the bedroom, that from the little hall to the kitchen.
Yeah.
And that was our living conditions. And we had fireplaces. Granddaddy, now going back to that, now the neighbors, we had good neighbors in our neighborhood. One helping each other. Because when one would see that, like Uncle Will Drinker, now his wood pile was getting low and didn't have much wood. Mm-hmm. Well, Uncle Wes and my granddaddy and my daddy would go in together and go in the woods and get him enough wood to last him a month or two.
Yeah.
And the same thing that happened to my granddaddy. When Applewood, we used to have to tote in stove wood. We had a wood stove. We had to cook on wood, on a wood stove. And we'd have to bring, that was our chores. My sister, Aunt Catherine and me had to bring in the stove wood. That was one thing we had to do, is stack that stove wood in behind the stove. And had to have enough, you know, to last a day or two. And so that was the way it was worked back there with the older people. We helped one another. It was a good neighborhood to live in. And if someone got sick, the neighbors would come and see what they could do, even sit up at night with them when they were sick. And I know my mama, one of our neighbors, lived down, I think she lived about 2 miles down the road. And she had, she was going to have a baby. She had twins. Mm-hmm. And she named them after my mama and Aunt Jenny. My mother was a twin. And so when these two twins were born, my mother had to go down there and stay with them, you know why. And so she named the twins Winnette and Jeanette. That's my name is Winnette. My name is Jeanette after Aunt Jenny. And Frankie's name is Winnette after Aunt Jenny.
Yeah.
After my mama. So back in those days, it was pretty hard. And during the time of, let me see now, back in the 38 and 39 was when the, let me see, I believe, I was trying to think when we had lights put in, it was back in 30. About 34 and 35 was when the lights was turned on in the communities. They run lights out in the country then.
Yeah.
And so, no, we didn't have lights back in, it was back in 34 and 35 is when the lights come through.
Yeah.
But we had, before then, we had kerosene lamps. And then my daddy, somebody told him about a Latin lamp. It was much brighter than these little kerosene lamps, because it burned kerosene, but it was much lighter. Brighter, had a bright for us to study by. Mm-hmm. So my daddy bought us one. And so, and then,
Let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
In your neighborhood back then, or in this community, was there any crime, or was...
No, we didn't have any. We didn't have to worry about crime, because we could go to bed and leave our doors open and windows up. We didn't have to worry about it at all. And in the summertime, some of the men that was working slept on the porch. So we had no crime at all back in those days. And back in, I didn't hear of any crime at all. And until I married, when I left home, it was still a quiet neighborhood. Everybody was kin to one another. And it was very few colored people that lived in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was about 2 miles from our house, there was a family of colored people that lived down the road. But they would help you, they would work. They loved the white people because white people fed them. And I remember a family that's grown now, all the children are grown, but these boys, a grandmother, helped my mama with grandma. And when they, when she would leave to go home, she would take a big pile of food with her to feed those children, to feed her children.
Mm-hmm.
So that was sharing, see, we shared with one another. She shared her help with us. She helped us even iron, wash and iron, and clean house. But my mama and daddy always paid her by giving her food and stuff to take to the children, because it wasn't their mama was dead. And I think their daddy lived on a little while later, but she was left with all those children to raise. And that's how she, got a lot of her money. I said money, didn't get money, just got food to eat. And they were just like we were. They didn't have any bought clothes. You couldn't buy any clothes back then because we didn't have any money. And I remember my daddy raised bird dogs. Now that was back in 25 and 26. He raised bird dogs and sold them. And we had a little money back there then. That was in the, you know, in the 20s. And it was before we moved in the house with Granddaddy. And then in the later years, we're going to the 30s now, you know, it, let's see. In going to church on Sundays, let me tell you what we did.
Okay.
My granddaddy, my daddy wasn't able to do much walking, but he did help go to church on Sunday school. We only had preaching once a month. And we would walk to Sunday school. We'd walk out there. We walked to Sunday school. My daddy would get the young people from up above us there. There was about six or seven of them. We would, they'd come down and join us, and we would walk to Goshen Church. And while we were doing that, while Grandpa would always, there's a little store. Bill Chafin's store was on the corner of the path that we come out of. And right there was where Granddaddy would buy us a cookie. He'd give us a cookie, or either you could get two pieces of candy for a penny. And he'd give us a little piece of candy or a cookie before we got any further. Now, that was a long way. We had walked a good piece, but then we had another mile and a half to go to church. Well, then he had some shortcuts, though. We cut in and went down by a spring. Then at the foot of our church was a nice spring. That's where the baptismal pool was down there. And he would always make us stop there and get a drink of water. He would take his hat off and dip down in that spring and let us drink, give us a drink of water before we go to church. And so go on up the hill to the church. And so now this is the truth, Brad. This is how we had to live back then.
Mm-hmm.
If we went to church, we had to walk. And back in the 30s though now, Grandpa and Daddy went in together and bought a T-model car. And we would go to church in that T-model car then, because Daddy would drive us to church. We didn't have to walk that distance. But, and most of the time during the summer months, we'd go in a wagon. That was in the 20s, 28 and 29 and 30s. When somebody would come along in a wagon, hitched up, and get all of us young people, we'd go to tracted meeting, we called it then. It was revival meeting. We'd have that once a year. And we would go to church in that wagon. And so, and then it would be dark. Sometimes it'd be dark when we got back. But that's the only way we had of going to church, at night for the revival.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, was the church very crowded? Or?
Yeah, we had a big crowd back there then because it was a lot of people living in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
A lot of people. You take all of us cousins. All of us were cousins, though, most all of us. And wherever we went during the daytime, we'd have to walk until we got the car. But we didn't go very much, you know. Mama didn't go because she put in quilts. You know, she would have quiltings and invite the neighbors in to help her quilt. And they would almost quilt out one quilt in a day's time. They'd have six around the quilt.
Mm-hmm.
We were children, but we little kids, but we knew what they were doing. And the ladies, the other ladies in the community, did the same thing. So
let me go back to the living conditions. What did y'all like sleep on? Did y'all like sleep?
Oh, on the sleeping. Oh, that was something funny. you know. my mother made, now we had some mattresses, but we didn't have enough to go on all the beds.
Mm-hmm.
So when the pea thrash come along, Mama would make a big old thing that we could put straw in to make a mattress. And we would put straw in that mattress every year for us to make a mattress to sleep on.
Mm-hmm.
They had slats on the beds, you know, like. And then he would put put the mattress on them, on those slats. And then we could mash it down, you know, where we could put a sheet over it. And then, no, we put a quilt over it first, and then put the sheets over it, and the cover. But the bed looks nice after you got the hay or straw, whatever it is, you know, settled down.
Was it comfortable?
No, it wasn't comfortable, but we had to sleep on it, whether we liked to sleep on it or not.
Yeah.
And but then every year we would have to empty that hay out and get some fresh and put in those mattresses. Now, not only our family did that, it was all the families in that neighborhood. Because there was very few mattresses then. And I think the government come along in the 30s and give some mattresses to the families. And so we finally got where we didn't have to use a straw. But back then, it was so many in our family, so, you know, we didn't have...
Well, since the tape cut off, I just want to go back to the sleeping part. I mean, y'all had the hay.
Well, in the summertime, during our sleeping, when we slept, our mothers always made us sun the mattresses. We had to put them out every summer and sun them. Let them get good and hot. And the pillows and everything, we had to put all that out and let it get good and hot before we could put them, we put them back on bed, and they slept so good that night. But then we had to, let's see, from that sleeping, we had enough room in the house for all of us to sleep, and it was about eight of us at one time, because my mother's brother was there with us. But now, it wasn't too long after that the CC camp, the government put out the, bought some of the boys go to CC camp to help provide for the families at home.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother went.
Which brother?
Bernard.
Yeah.
My oldest brother went to CC camp. And he would send money back home for us to buy some sugar or lard or whatever it was that we run out of. And that was in the 30s, back from 34 to, I reckon about 34 and 35, mm-hmm. like that. And I don't know what year he came out of CC camp, but it wasn't long after that before the WPA started up. The government put out some money to help people work, give them work to do so they could make a little money on the WPA.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of people that got on the WPA to work, to make a little money. They didn't make much, but it was enough to help. And that was during the, they called them Hoover days, during the Depression.
Yeah.
And it was kind of hard for anybody to make money then. But now that helped out a lot, and during the Depression, it was a Depression too. It was back in the 30s, maybe 35 or 36, 35 when it was. I went and worked on the WPA.
Now what is the WPA?
I don't know what it stands for, but anyway, I would work out at the courthouse to file some papers. They just anything to give you just a little something to do if it wasn't 4 or 5 hours, or 3 or 4 hours is mm-hmm. all we had. And then I remember there was one lady that lived in our community that her husband died, and she had twins, girls, and then she had another older daughter. And she made her little money helping people pick cotton. Now when the crops come up, now that's another story. Whenever we planted, when my dad and those planted crops, we had to chop cotton. We had to sit down on the Guyana stack and tote Guyana to the plier, and had to go get water for them whenever they was planting the cotton.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it come up, we had to chop the cotton. And corn, we had to thin corn, had to chop the corn, hold the corn, and then put soda on it. I'd done it a many day when I was little. And then, you know, whenever that daddy would have to have some help because he wasn't able to do all that much.
Yeah.
And, but he did, he worked. And he planted his cotton, and they would borrow it enough money, around $75 a year. Mm-hmm. And that's what they had to live on, unless it was some little new job, some little something come up that they could make a little money on. So, like Daddy selling those dogs, he raised those bird dogs. Now that little money, why, but just a little bit, but it was money, back there then was money.
Yeah.
It was a lot of money. And then when the corn got up where we had to thin it, we got out there and helped him thin corn. We picked cotton. And after school, we'd go to school. And then we'd have to, when we got home from school, we had to, pick cotton. We knew what we had to do when we got home.
Yeah.
We had to go to cotton field. And after we come in, now we had to stay out there until Daddy let us come home. He wouldn't let us come to the house until he got ready for us to. And we'd pick a big old pile of cotton. And some of us now, going back, this lady that I was telling you about had those twins. She had no way, no money, no way at all of making any money. And so the neighbors helped her see that she got food, got mm-hmm. flour and meal and stuff like that. But it was neighbors helping neighbors in our community. And that we wasn't afraid of anything. We didn't have to be afraid of anything. This lady, when her husband died, she said she didn't know whether she could stay there by herself or not. But she had a brother that stayed with her about 2 months. But then she said she wasn't afraid anymore because the neighbors seen out.
Mm-hmm.
They would always go down there to see if she had plenty of food and water in the house, and they were closed in. But she said that they were never worried anymore, because she knew that the Lord was going to take care of her. And he did. He saw her through. And when this WPA started up in 31 and 32. I believe that's when it was, because she rode out of school bus to town. She had a job. She rode out of school bus to town to make a little money to buy her a little something, whatever she needed. And she would chop cotton. Those two oldest girls of hers would get out, and she would too, and chop cotton for different people around in the neighborhood so that they could pay her a little bit of something. Now my granddaddy, she helped us all the time.
Yeah.
And he always had a little extra money. He had a little money. And he would pay her to do all that, pay her children. If it wasn't 50 cents a day, that's what they got. And she was a big help to our family, and we were a help to them. And so it just a great big family living together in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And there was about 7 or 8 homes in our neighborhood. And so we just had one. We had a ball game during the summer months. My brother pitched ball. We had baseball. That was our entertainment.
Yeah.
During the summer months was when they several of the men would get together and play baseball.
So y'all did relax and have some fun.
Yeah, we did. During the summer months, we did have fun. And oh, another thing, we had a hole that had water and down in the branch. We'd go down there and we'd dam up a branch to go in swimming.
Oh, really?
Yeah, during the summer months. It'd be so hot, you know. And now Mama and them wouldn't let us go down there by ourselves, but they went with us. But we went down there and jumped in that little hole of water nearly every day. We just have a good time. And so we didn't know anything about dancing until about 35 and 34. Well, I had an uncle that lived down our place, and he played the fiddle, and my other uncle played the guitar. And one of the boys that lived above us played the guitar.
Yeah.
So at that time, then we started having the round dances, the square dances, old-timey square dances. But we couldn't go in unless Uncle Harry and Aunt Lucille, the players, one that played it for the dances, we could not go without them going too.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way we had to get in there. And so, but we had a good time. There was a recreation going. And in the schools, Brad, we had oyster suppers. I don't know what you, to make up some money for the school. Now, one man had, his home was big, but he didn't have too many children. And they would let us have oyster suppers up there. The men would chip in and buy the oysters, and the milk, we milked cows. Back then, you know, that's the only way we had it, getting any milk. We had in our family, we had three cows. And Mama and Grandpa milked the cows. And we would have that to make the oyster supper that of. Different ones chipped in and got the milk. We charged 75 cents. I believe it was 75 cents a bowl or two bowls or something.
Mm-hmm.
75 cents is what we got for to get filled up with an oyster stew. And they bought the little crackers. They bought those little bitty round crackers. And so everybody got filled up on 75 cents.
Yeah.
But it was a big help to the school. And then we put on plays. Some of the younger set then, like our mamas and, you know, their neighbors, put on a play up there. We had a school teacher that loved to act, you know. And so they built a stage in our schoolhouse for us to have this play. And I was in it. Most all of us were in it.
Yeah.
My daddy was in it. My mama was in it. And all the our children's mothers and fathers put it on. And we made, I don't know how much money for the school. We thought $25 was a big thing, but we made more than that. And on the play for people to come and see the play. We'd have it maybe two nights a week. And so we'd make up money that way to get some little stuff we needed there in the schoolhouse.
Did y'all have a lot of materials in the school, like a lot of books, paper?
No, now we had to buy our book back there then. We bought our books, but they weren't much. It didn't cost much.
Yeah.
And so sometimes the superintendent would come around and bring some books. He would come around and leave some books there at the school house, and the old spelling books and stuff like that, we had to buy all those. And we had some when our house burned, but we don't have them now. The old books that, when I first started school.
Yeah.
We had them then, you know, and I wish I had them now, because we could certainly learn a whole lot now by going back over them.
Right.
See them. And the arithmetic books and the history book. I love geography. That geography book was thick, and it was good. We studied that real good. You know, the teachers always loved, I think she loved geography too.
How many teachers did you have?
We had one teacher.
That was
one
it?
One teacher, and we had, and it was the first grade through the sixth. First grade through the sixth grade. And back in let me see, I believe it was 1934 and 35 is when they put on the school buses. They consolidated that little school up there. Mm-hmm. And then we had to ride the school bus to Lincolnton. And then it when we left that school, they put us back a grade because we were way too far back for them to go on with the class down there. And so, but my brother, he didn't get the foot back. He was smart. Abbott was smart. And they didn't put him back, but they put us back. But you didn't know what grade you was going in when you left that little school up there.
Yeah.
So I don't really know, you know, how. We finished school together. All three of us finished together. And when my daddy told us, he said, I'll tell you what, said, I'll work my fingers to the bone to put you all through school, through high school. But said, that's as far as I'll be able to do. And so he did. He worked to, you know, give us clothes and things, because Mama would have a little extra money if daddy stole some peas or something, mm-hmm. thrashing. Peas. Now he would have a sack and give the man that bought the pea thrasher, he would have a sack. I reckon it's a bushel.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was called. Cause Watson got a bushel and my daddy got a bushel. Now if daddy wanted to sell his peas, that was all right. And he went all over Lincoln County. All over Lincoln County. And sometimes when he went way up in the up end of the county, he would have to spend the night.
Where would he sleep?
He would sleep with somebody up there. And that he thrashed peas for.
Yeah.
And they looked forward to him coming every year to thrash their peas. And that was something else we had, that we could eat dry peas. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't go hungry.
Yeah.
During the Depression days. We had plenty of food. And I remember one day, 1 week there, the government put out some clothes. I think Lincoln County was allotted so much, and Mr. George Murray, not George, Mr. Fortson Murray, come by, and the houses up through there, and the men brought clothes for the men, so we didn't have, the girls didn't get any, but the men got some pants, you know, and shirts. And so, now that's one thing that they've done. I think that's long about the time that the WPA come along. No, it wasn't. It was the CC camps. That's when they went into CC camps, about 34 and 35. And so I remember I was in, when I finished school in 36, Bun, and my brother was in CC camp, and he sent Mama enough money to buy me a class ring.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm, he did. He bought my class ring.
Hmm.
And I think somebody gave Burton Chunky hugs. And Mom and Daddy bought Abbott. And that was hard for him to get three of us through school. And I remember I was working, that was back in 35. 34 and 35 is a summer that I worked out here at Lincolnton and at the coat house. I was for the county agent, and I was filing some papers there. He showed me how to do it, and I did that. I think we worked about 4 hours, 3 to 4 hours. And I got $7 a month, I believe that's what it was. $7 a month. Oh, either $14 a month, I've forgotten. But Daddy said, well, I tell you now, all of you finishing school now, and I don't know how I'll get enough money to buy your evening dresses and all this for you. And so he went out to cut Watson's collar, mm-hmm. and he let him have $17. He borrowed $17 from Cousin Watson to get our evening dresses and get us fixed up to graduate. And I paid that $17 back working on the WPA.
Hmm.
And so that was during the Depression days, too. Depression days come on up to about 40. Now, wage and hour law went into effect in 38 and 39, is when the wage and hour law went into effect. And that is when people, the jobs, they started getting a little jobs, little work at the planers, the sawmills, mm-hmm. and things that was ran in the country. And they would, I don't know how much they would get an hour, 30 cents an hour, I think is what they said. And this man that I was talking to said he brought home $12 a week working at the planer over here in Lincoln. And most everybody had a little job, if it wasn't just 4 or 5 hours a day. But they were on the, wage and hour law went into effect then, and they had to pay him some money. And during that time now, all of the depression times, neighbors were still helping neighbors at the end of the depression.
Mm-hmm. And, well, let me ask you, I want to go back to the living condition. When you're saying you're going to the outhouses, where'd y'all take a shower at or a bath?
Oh, we got in the wash tub when we got through washing on Monday.
Yeah.
That's something we should have brought in before now. But when we get through now, we would draw a tub of water and put it in the hot sun and let it get warm. and we'd get in there at night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what we do. We'd get in there about, after the sun goes down before the water got cold. That's how we did. And then Mama would heat water on the stove for us to get in the tub in the winter months. She would heat a big old dishpan full of water. See, we didn't have no sinks at that time.
Oh, really?
We didn't have no sinks. We just had two big dishpans. We washed the dishes in big dishpans. I would wash the dishes, and Chunky would rinse them and dry them. And that's when Mama cooked supper, she said, all right, now y'all take over the kitchen. And so we would have to clean up the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And she would have the water hot for us. So we washed the dishes and dry them. We didn't have no sink lavatories like we have now. Wasn't no such thing back then. And the lights come through here about, I think in I think they started with electric lights about about in the 35, about 35 is when the electric lights started coming through the country, rural laborers.
Yeah.
And we had lights then. And but now I married in 38. And when I married and went with William, his daddy at that time did not have lights, because mm-hmm. they didn't get them through all the rural country, rural routes, you know. And he had a Delco system. We had lights. We had the house wired for lights, mm-hmm. but we used the Delco system. We had lights over there. And I married in 36, and when William was making, your granddaddy was making $8 a week. $8 a week.
Well, did you do any like chores or anything around the house?
Chores, yeah. We had to bring in stove wood, and we had to sweep up, make up the beds.
Did you cook?
No, she wouldn't let us cook. She said we was too extravagant. She wouldn't let us cook. She said we was too extravagant. Now, we had to do the cleaning up.
Yeah.
But without chores. We had to bring in the house wood. We had a big fireplace in the bedroom in there. And we had, that is when we had to bring in the house wood, firewood, and then the stove wood. We knew what our chores were. Mm. Now, Bernice, my baby sister, she didn't realize any of this, because she wasn't quite big enough, old enough to have to do all this kind of work.
Yeah.
And Abbott wasn't too much older, but he did, he done what his daddy told me. We would have to go down to the barn and grind corn off to go to the mill to make meal out of, make cornbread. Mm-hmm. Now, we children would go down there. Daddy would have the corn already picked out for our meal. Now, he didn't send just any kind of corn to the mill for us to eat. He'd pick out his good ears of corn for us to, you know, use to make flour out of. And we didn't have to worry about our flour as long as our wheat held out. So I don't know how many acres of wheat that they had to sell, had to plant to make enough of, you know, to last. It didn't last the, all the flour we had, the wheat didn't last all the year. We had to have some extra money to buy flour. And so we thought that's where we got our dresses from. It was the sack, flour sacks were made out of flour material. And we wasn't all that big then, and it didn't take too much to dress three of us. But she, Mama made our panties out of that guano sacks, made our little slips out of guano sacks. And she would make us some, made, I believe she made us, made Bernard a pair of pants out of guano sacks. And they looked like linen. They were just so pretty and white. They looked just like linen. After you get all them numbers out of it.
Oh, really?
But it took you a long time to get the numbers out. And so, back in those days, it was kind of rough for us.
Did but, y'all have to, like, conserve any items or anything, like food and clothes or anything like that to make it through? Or did y'all have enough?
No, we didn't have enough. That's what I was telling you. We had to sell. Now, like Daddy raising those dogs, now he sold them. Well, he probably got $5 for them, but you could get a sack of flour for $1.50. So, no, we had to buy some flour. The flour didn't last, and our meat didn't last. You know, we had to buy fat back. Mm-hmm. See, it got ranked that we had 3 hogs a year, and it lasted us a good while, the meat did. And now they wouldn't let us cut the hams until somebody come. We had company. When we had company, then they'd cut the hams. Unless we run out of, you know, meat that we had to have them for. But now we wasn't, because my daddy raised a good garden. We had a real good garden. And Mama and him both canned beans. And they canned tomatoes. They canned everything they could can. I remember one year my daddy canned over 100 quarts of beans. And being conservative now, we didn't have to save back unless Mama saved money to buy the lard, you know, either buy sugar. And sometimes during the summer months, it would be so hot. So there's a little store in our community, and this lady would buy a big old block of ice, and she would sell as much as 10 cents, a little piece off of it for 10 cents. And before we'd come out of the field, during the hot summer months, Daddy would let us go to the house to go and get us a little piece of ice. To have some ice water or tea. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of rough. Sometimes he would leave the field and leave us in the field and go and crank up the tea model and go down there and get the ice. And I've seen him we had a big old long aluminum water jug. It was aluminum. And he would let his milk, he had to drink milk a lot. And he would let that milk in that jug down in the well to cool it, get it cool where he could drink some of it. So then after, back in the 40s then, we left. See, we married in 1938, and your daddy was born in 1940. Mm-hmm. And we were living in Augusta. No, we were living up here when he was born. But right after he was born, your granddaddy went to the railroad. He worked with the Georgia Railroad while they were building Camp Gordon down there. It wasn't called Fort Gordon then, it was called Camp Gordon. And we went on to Augusta then. We got an apartment down there. And so he went on the Georgia Railroad, worked for 12 or 14 years on the Georgia Railroad.
Hmm.
And but you know, it got where they put on the diesels, and that cut him back to extra board. He was a fireman, I think, a brakeman or something, and out there. So, but he was working just as hard as they could go. He was supposed to have 8 hours off, but they didn't let him have 8 hours. They let him have about 5 hours off while they were building Camp Gordon. That's the camp down there where the soldiers, you know, stayed.
Yeah.
And after we moved, he was pulled. He got a chance to be work the Georgia Railroad out of Augusta from Washington, Georgia to Kamak. But most of the runs was from Augusta to Atlanta. And he enjoyed it. He really did enjoy it. But after they put the diesels on, then that cut the brakeman, the fireman back, you see. And well, he had to go back to extra board because he didn't have enough seniority to pull the road. But he worked a long time. He worked about 14 years, about 13 or 14. And when Milton was born, we was in Atlanta, in Washington. Milton come along in 42. And we were living in Washington then. Daddy was on that little run from Washington to Kanak. And we stayed there for 6 or 7 years. And then he was pulled off of that run. And he had to go back to Augusta. Well, it wasn't long before it was time to put Elton in school.
Yeah.
Elton and Milton in school. And so then is when I come back home here and settle down at the Blackman home base. And that's where we stayed until he got out of service. See, he was a drafted in service. Elton went to service first. Your daddy went in service first. And then Milton. And then Mike. And then William had gotten 5 to 4.
All right, since we've covered the whole outline, is there anything else you want to add about the Depression?
Yes, I think the Depression days ended about in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, my husband was still working on the railroad, but we moved over near Lincolnton. And so the children could go to school, and then our house burned back in 58. 59, and then we found a little place down here on Kingsway, and that is, we bought this little house, and that's where I live now.